good to have tonight also the LaRue family with us tonight, missionaries of Chile. And it's good to have them visiting with us. They're from the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Grand Prairie. Their pastor's a little bit different, but that's okay. It's all right. If you've ever met Brother Grice, he's a great man, and I appreciate it. Your pastor, love him. He's my friend. And, so good to have you here tonight. Well, tonight, the same as this morning, we have a guest speaker. And we had talked several weeks ago about who's going to be preaching while I was gone to camp. And since I'm not gone to camp, we're going to let them preach anyway. And they don't get a lot of chances, especially Brother Brandon. And so Brother Brandon Cook's going to come preach for us tonight. Appreciate Brother Brandon the week of BBS this week. A lot of effort over the last 4 months putting it together. And done a great job. Appreciate Brother Brandon and Miss Jessica. And the baby on the way. Nice young couple. Nice young couple.
I'm not young anymore? Oh, no. If you'll turn over to Exodus 32. Thank you for all the help for during VBS. That was really great. I mean, we had nights there. We're too short of 150 kids. And usually we start out with maybe 50 of the first night. It was truly amazing. We also got to see 13 children get saved. And if you'd like, afterwards, Clayton's set us up a video upstairs on the projector since we can't use this one yet. And you go up and he'll have that on loop afterwards, after the service. Exodus, it's starting 31, verse 18. It says, "And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, the two tables of testimony, the tables of stone, written with the finger of God. And when the people saw that Moses had delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings, which are on the ears of your wives and your sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings, which were in their ears, and brought them to Aaron. And he received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf, and said, These are thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this day. Lord, I pray that you'd speak through me, Lord, the message that you'd have me speak, Lord, and nothing be remembered from me, but only your word, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, I don't get many opportunities to preach. I don't get many opportunities to be down here because I'm upstairs with children. And I love being up there. And I'm not a preacher. I'd like to think of myself as a teacher, but we'll find out in a couple years as your kids grow up. Hopefully I'm a teacher. But I've been praying all week really since Tuesday, since we talked about it, about coming here and preaching. And, you know, as a teacher, I have a lot of teaching materials. I have a lot of lessons, but as far as preaching and outlines, I kind of preached everything I have to you already. So, so I prayed and asked the Lord to show me something, and I said, "Well, I've run out of time, Lord. I need to get into preparing for children's church." And we've been studying Moses, and we've been studying Moses a lot longer than I thought we'd take it to study Moses. But it's been really good. It's helped me out so much seeing the children of Israel and what they've done and what God's done through them. I mean, I've used it. Moses is in the story here to pretty much teach everything. We've started up with the children's choir, and our opening statement was, "Why do we sing?" And we just that Sunday preached on how Moses had taken the children out of Israel, and they'd crossed over the Red Sea. When they got done, they sang. Why do we sing? We sing to give praise to God. But what are we praising for? We tell other people about who God is and what He's done. And here we're going to learn about the children of Israel and how much they forget what God has done. All the time they forget. I've started responsive reading in there with the children, mainly because it gets them involved. And plus, as you can see, I'm not very good at reading aloud. But it helps them understand it more and it keeps them involved. And we kind of had a little revival upstairs this morning. It was really great. I think we preached lightly on sin too much. These people forgot the Lord. Our story, where it starts here in the passage, that Moses has gone up on Mount Sinai, or Sinai, however you like to pronounce it. He's gone up there and he's met with God. He's met with the Creator of the universe. He's been up there 40 days and 40 nights. God says, I'm going to lay out a way. I've led you through the desert. I've given you the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud to follow me. I'm going to show you how to set up a house that I can meet with you. He's given him out the plans. He's given out everything. He says, I'm going to show you the way I want you to live. He's laid out the law. As we learn later in Romans, what the law is for. We're about to see it here in this passage. He lays out the law. He engraves it with his own hands. I can imagine, like Brother Stewart says, to hearing it audibly aloud as God writes the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's got to be terrifying. Being down there, your only leader in the middle of the desert is gone up a mountain where there's fire and lightning and clouds. Don't know where he's been. He's been there for over a month. Hasn't come down. The Bible says he doesn't eat or drink the whole time he's up there. I don't know where he's gone. And now there's thunderings and lightnings. We don't know what to do. Now these people that just had gone and had a God prepare them for this great exodus. They've seen the great miracles as God smashed all of their false gods that they've lived under for 200 years. You've got to remember that these people hadn't seen the Lord God work in a long time. 200 years ago, Joseph was there. There's been so many pharaohs that knew not the Lord God. And they've been under such tyranny and lived with people that I don't believe all of them worshiped God. They probably had a lot of them that went with these false gods. It was easier. And now that they've gone out of the land and God's taken them through the Red Sea and they sang the rejoicing of what God has done and who He is, they come to this place and Moses is only gone for a little while and they've forgotten Him. Their only food comes from God, but they've forgotten Him. In Psalms 106:21, it says, they forgot their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. It gets talked about a lot in the Bible. In Acts it says, and they made a calf in those days and offered a sacrifice unto the idol and rejoiced in the work of their own hands. They get nervous. They get tired of waiting. We what not? What has come of Moses, the man who saved us from Egypt? They've already forgotten who saved them, for one. Brought us out of Egypt. Say Aaron, whose God's already talked to Moses about. We're going to make him our priest, and he's going to have a banner that says, Holy is the Lord. Aaron, make us a false god.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make us something that we might worship, because we don't know where Moses is. And Moses, being the great leader he is while he's away, says, take all your earrings. Let's break them off, which is a lot of earrings. It's going to take a long time. And we're going to melt them down, and I'm going to give you something to worship. Now, this isn't something that's just going to take one day. This is going to take a long time. Melt this down, and he shapes it into a calf, and then he takes it out, and he chisels it out, and they put it on an altar, and they begin to worship it. It says right here in the Bible, these are the gods that brought us out of Egypt. And Aaron tells them to worship. Aaron tells them to do things that, from the old days, from their place of tyranny.
Yeah.
Aaron tells them to strip down naked and begin the dances again and begin the sacrifices. And out of all this, God has just got done writing the Ten Commandments, just got done talking to Moses about what He's going to do for them. He's going to meet with them. He's going to provide a way for them to meet with God. And He's going to use this man, Aaron, to be the intercessor. And they're already off. They're off the cart. They're already off in their own sin. God stops everything and says, hold on. Moses, you have to go now. You have to go down and deal with these people. Because I'm going to kill them. I'm going to kill every last one of them. After all I've done for them. You're gone for a month and look, it's already this bad.
Yeah.
The man I've used to speak for you when you didn't have the speech to speak to Pharaoh, I gave boldness to proclaim your word, to let my people go in your stead. He's down there teaching them how to dance to idols. And their wickedness, we can't even speak of in here. Moses pleads their case before the Lord. Lord, please don't destroy them. You promised to get them to the land of milk and honey. And what will other people say? These other nations, other nations know what happened to the land of Egypt. Egypt was the greatest country that was because of what God did with Joseph. And you smote their entire army. People are asking questions about your people. People are wanting to know about your people. What are they going to say? That you brought them out here in the middle of the wilderness and let them to die? Because that's what the Israelites are already saying. It says God repented of his way with Israel. That doesn't mean he was sorry for what he did. God never does anything wrong. He would be justified in what he did. As he turned away from his initial answer, God listened to Moses. Moses starts down the hill. As Moses starts going down the hill, halfway down, he left some of his most trusted men. Joshua's there, says, "Moses, I'm so glad you came down. There's a war going on down this hill." He said, "No, that's not a war. I don't see anyone here who's I don't see cries of losing in battle or winning in battle. I don't see cries of tyranny going on down there. I hear music and dancing. And it makes me sick." So as he takes these tablets, these Ten Commandments that God has given him, brings them down the mountain, he sees their sin. The ones he just pleaded their case before God about. What would people say if you did this, God? Well, what would people say if they saw them now? Their hearts, they're not towards God. They're towards an idol. He comes down the mountain with the tablets that God has given them. With the news that God has provided a way, a tabernacle where He is going to house with them and commune with them. And their sins are going to be laid over till later. He comes down with this good news and he sees them down there writhing and dancing and screaming and worshiping this false god. These are the gods who brought us out of Egypt. When the God of the mountain is still up there. I can't imagine if you'd come upon that scene. I can't imagine. Imagine if there was another tribe. People hear about the works of the Lord. They say, "Let's go see these great people." And they come there on that day. What would they think? These are the gods that brought you out of Egypt? These look like the gods that you were in Egypt with. Out of all the plagues that God brought upon the Egyptians to show them that these are not the gods. Here they are back in their sin. Their hearts are not where they ought to be. And I imagine if Moses stayed up there, they would have left. And they would have took that God with them. Not a God that goes before them in a pillar of cloud or a pillar of fire, but a God that they could pull behind them and go where they want to go. They could do their own thing. Colossians says that all of our sin, this wickedness even here, is idolatry. All our sin, Pastor says, is selfishness. It's idolatry. The idol they have here, they can put on a cart. They can take it wherever they want. The idol here, they can do as they want. Moses comes down and says, "Aaron, what have you done? You've brought shame to God's people. They're naked on your command. What is going on?" And Aaron makes up excuses. "You're the man in charge. You're the one that God just told me. You are going to be the voice of the people to God. Hold the banner. Holy is the Lord." And you have God's people naked. You have God's people in shame. You led them to worship false gods. You stood up and told them, the man who's supposed to speak to the people for God, you have told them these are the gods to worship. What have you done? And Aaron makes excuses. Horrible ones at that. "Well, they kept pressing on me. There's thousands of them. And finally I said, all right, I'll do it. I broke all the gold off and said, we'll put it in the fire and out popped this calf. It just popped out. So it must be a sign from God. So we worshipped it." Moses took the tablets that the Lord had given him, smashed them. God's laws were no good anymore. They were already broken before they even received them. And he took that calf and he beat it down and ground it up and he put it in water. And he said, "This is your God that brought you out of Egypt? Drink it." Amen. And they drank it that day. This is your God? This is who you would to serve? I pounded your God down with my fists. I ground him up, and now you have to drink it. Your God, how long is your God going to last you? The true God's been here all the time, but you've forgotten him. Moses stood up and said, who's on the Lord's side? And a very few stood up and said, we are. And Moses told them, I want you to go to your neighbor's house. I want you to kill your sons and your daughters and everyone else that's not on the Lord's side. Kill them all. And they did. And 3,000 people died that day. Sin is a horrible thing. And the deeds these people have done is wicked before the sight of God. But it was more than that. It was their hearts. Their hearts were black. Their hearts were wicked. We learn in Romans that God made the Ten Commandments as a taskmaster to show us where we are right and wrong. In our own hearts, if I compare myself to someone else, I'm not so bad off. I'm not so bad. So God gave me a standard. This is my standard. And I don't measure up. God says I shouldn't lie. And I'm a liar. God says I shouldn't steal. I'm a thief. God says I shouldn't murder. He says my hate, because He looks at our hearts, not at our actions. My hate is murder. God says I shouldn't commit adultery in my heart. But I still have eyes and I'm a man. I've broken God's laws before I even knew what they were. And even as a Christian, I've forgotten God. I wouldn't live the way I do if I remembered the Lord. You wouldn't live the way you do if you remembered the Lord. We think it's in our actions or our inactions, but it's in our hearts. You are your own God. You want to do what you want to do. I'm good in my own mind because I compare myself to someone else. Why? Because it allows me to continue doing what I want to do. It allows me to continue doing things in my own heart. Who's on the Lord's side? Do you know what God did that day? He said, Moses, go back up on the hill. Go back up on the mountain. And we'll start again. And they wrote him out again. And he brought them down again. And we started over. The Ten Commandments are to bring us to Christ and realize how far away He is. Isaiah learned who God was when he learned who he was when he saw who God was. When he saw the God high and lifted up, he realized that he was a sinner. That you're a sinner, not just in your deeds. You say, well, I don't look at those things on the internet. But where's your heart? I don't say those words anymore, except inside my head. I don't go to those places anymore, but where is your heart? Do you remember the Lord? Do you remember where you were when He found you? Do you remember what He's done for you? Up in choir, we talked about how we sing because of who God is and what He's done. And I asked them, I said, why do some people in the pews not sing? And I had many answers, but kids know. They know what's going on. I had a boy say, well, maybe they don't know who God is and what He's done. I had a little girl say, maybe they don't care. But maybe they've forgotten. Maybe you've forgotten who God is and what He's done and how wicked you are and what He saved you from. I might look like a good guy because I'm in church, because I'm behind a pulpit. But my righteousness is a filthy rags before the Lord. There's nothing I can do save Christ. We have a self-esteem issue that we talk about all the time in public schools now. We don't have a self-esteem issue. We have a sin issue. Because I think pretty highly of myself already. I don't need to think any higher. I don't. We have a sin issue. We don't realize where we are. So who's on the Lord's side? Last, and in children's church, I had a lot of people raise their hands. But what are you doing about it? If you are on the Lord's side, why are you watching that anymore on TV? If you're on the Lord's side, why are you hanging out with those people? If you're on the Lord's side, why do you say those things? To your loved ones, to your family, to people you work with? If you're on the Lord's side, prove it. Show Him that you're on the Lord's side. If you realize what He's done and what He saved you from, there ought to be a difference in you. The more I read about the Ten Commandments, to me it was just a thing you learned in Sunday school for a long time. The more I read them, the more I see how wicked my heart is. We focus too much on what the deeds are. The deeds are a reflection of where my heart is. The children of Israel, we say, oh, it's so wicked what they did. God saw their hearts. God saw where they were coming from, why they did it, and that they would continue to do it. God saw something that we couldn't see. Imagine how uncomfortable that has to be to live with that. I heard a story about a lady who was witnessing to a bunch of ladies on the side of the street. Ladies that we probably not associate with. Ladies of the evening. And a policeman came by and arrested them all. And she had to go with them to jail. And while they were in the back seat of the big police car, the ladies back there were filing their nails. They were telling dirty jokes. They were laughing hysterically. But that one Christian lady, she felt like she was in hell. So uncomfortable in there. This is not where I should be. This is not where I ought to be. I don't want to hear these things. I don't want to be around these people. I don't want to be condemned with them. Imagine being God and seeing your sin every day. Seeing my sin. Have you forgotten where you came from? Are you on the Lord's side? Who is your God? Because in the end, if it's not Jesus Christ, if it's not Jehovah, it'll be ground up. You'll have to eat it. What are those sins in your life that you need to get rid of? What are the things you need to take care of now to continue to serve the Lord? Take care of it. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Name your sin. You have to confess with your mouth. Don't come to the altar and talk about your mistakes. Talk about your sin and why your heart is wicked and why it's dirty and your righteousness is as filthy rags. Confess before the Lord. Don't come here to make yourself feel better. Come here because you feel worse. And you ought to. That's the only way to have the right relationship with the Lord. That's the only way you got saved. Did we forget what we came from? Who is on the Lord's side? If you're on the Lord's side today, remember where your sin, remember where your sin led you, what God brought you from. Look at yourselves. Where are you now? How many people have you told about what the Lord brought you from this week? This year? Ever? What God has saved you from? Is it that you don't know that you're not saved? That you don't know what God has saved you from? What God can save you from? Or is it that you don't care? We had almost 150 children here and 13 got saved. Praise the Lord. But so many walked out that door that I'm not sure of. And there's so many more. Have you forgotten? Is that why? Do you not know? Do you not care? Or have you forgotten? What is your idol today? My idol is me. Growing up, I heard all the time that your idol is the TV. You bow down to the TV every day. And I don't believe that is true. I believe that my idol is me. And the sacrifice that I give to my idol, which is me, is my time in front of that TV. I think I give other things. I give things to me. Because it pleases me. What is your idol today? Where has your heart been turned? Have you forgotten God? If you have, you can come back to Him today. God wrote the commandments. He prepared a way and everything. And they still broke them. And He started over. He started over and He brought them down again. And Aaron was still made the high priest after what he'd done. They still hung the banner, "Holy is the Lord." When they were up there the second time, Moses was astounded by God. And he said, "Let me see you." God said, "My holiness is so great that if you saw me, you would die. But if you hide behind this rock, I'll walk by with my hinder parts to you. I'll walk to my back and I'll come by really quick and you can see me. Because any more than that and you'll die." That's how holy God is. In His presence, your heart, your wicked heart, you would die in front of Him. But Moses got to see a glimpse. I've heard so many messages on the glimpse of God, and it's so exciting. He came down with His face glowing. Now, if that face of God came before you and saw in your heart, where would that leave you? I wouldn't make it. I couldn't stand it. The only reason I can stand before God is because Jesus stands in front of me and He sees me. Don't forget where you came from. Don't forget who God is and what He's done. Don't forget what He brought you out of. Don't forget. Be on the Lord's side. And if you're not saved here today, you can be saved. You say, "Well, I'm not a very bad person." Compared to who?
Amen.
Compared to God, we are all wicked people. That puts us all on a level playing field. But it puts us on the bottom just the same. And God won't let any wickedness into heaven. But He provided a way through His Son. It amazes me that God, I'm about to have a child. It never occurred to me before, but God had to beat His own Son just to be around you and me. Don't forget that. I'm not very good at invitations, so I'm going to allow the pastor to do it. But I don't want you to forget that where we came from. If you have forgotten, remember. If you don't care, get it right.
Yeah.
You have a wicked heart. I have a wicked heart. And we forget who God is constantly. Remember who God is and do something about it. Who's on the Lord's side? Thank you, Pastor.
On the Lord's side. Amen. It was so easy for us to forget what the Lord has done for us. Children of Israel forgot what they, so quickly, the great miracles that He performed. Built that idol. I love that. I still chuckle every time. We just put that in there and this thing popped out. What in the world? And like you said, we have idols in our own life. Some had idols tonight, and they're not here because of that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Amen? Some idol, as He said, our biggest idol is ourselves. We need to remember where we came from. We need to remember what God did for us. Who's on the Lord's side? I tell you what, I won't be on the Lord's side tonight. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand. Hymn 167.